Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
living off with people,
a variety talk show
giving
whose only
all
mission
power
is to empower you.
That were only gonna bring me to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of sent the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, 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 and thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like the show, today's show and past shows, I encourage you to pass it on and get the message out because the messages that the guests bring to the show, I hope that you are inspired today, and I hope that you are inspired by all the shows. One out of every four women experience domestic abuse in their lifetime. To speak on that topic, we have a special guest, Aisha Hartwell, a woman who survived a hard past, which also included domestic abuse. But she found the strength to restore her faith and self-worth. Aisha is a U.S. Army veteran, devoted wife and mother. After leaving the Army, she enrolled in college and have received her bachelor's degree in human resource management and certification in Christian counseling from the Professional Christian Counseling Academy. She is currently working on obtaining her master's degree in clinical Christian counseling. Today, Aisha Hartwell is the founder of Agape Christian Counseling Center and Woman of Worth Ministry. Her message is, it's your worth demanded. Welcome, Aisha.
Thank you for having me.
I want to first commend you for wanting to share your story and all the work that you're doing to make a difference and allow God to use you as a vessel, to use your testimony and the tests that you went through to reach out to other women. I think is very much needed, and I just wanted to first say thank you for sharing your story. From my understanding, abuse is gradual, starting off verbal and progressively getting worse while gradually stripping away your self-esteem and self-worth. But I wanted to ask you, Aisha, how bad did the abuse get?
Well, for me, it was pretty much similar because it starts off with the verbal. And you get the slaps, the punches, the kicks, and it just progressively gets worse. So for me, it was the same way. And I could remember this particular situation where one day I had came home from work, came into the house, and he just started beating me, like, for no reason, punching me in my face, kicking me everywhere that you could imagine. But the only difference with this situation is that I actually found the strength and the courage to fight back. So I punched him in my face, in his face, I'm sorry, with all my might. And I could actually see fear in his eyes, like for the first time. His immediate reaction was to grab a gun and bash me over the head with it.
Wow.
The only thing I could remember after that was actually waking up in a pool of my own blood. Then he escorted me to the hospital. So when I got there, I told the doctors that I had gotten into a fist fight with my cousin and she hit me over the head with a broom. But I could see in the doctor's faces that they knew what I was saying was a lie. They knew I wasn't telling the truth.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, Yvonne, I felt like I had to do that. I was felt like I just had the need to protect him. One, he was the father of my kids, of course. I still loved him, and I also felt like I can change him or help him to change and become a better person.
So thinking back, what, and I think you kind of already touched on it, but what made you stay and what were you most afraid of?
Honestly, I don't think fear was a factor at all. My main thing is that I knew him before he became this violent person. He was nice, loving. That's what I knew of him. So in my mind, I felt like the longer I'd be with him, the better chances I would have to help this person change and be the person that I knew and fell in love with.
So it was almost like the wounded bird syndrome.
Yep.
Which a lot of women have. We want to save the person. We see that they're struggling with something or battling something, and we want to save them.
Yeah.
I've been in an emotionally abusive relationship, and there's a point that you get to where you've had enough and you want out. What was the turning point for you?
Well, I would have to say the turning point was this one time we had broken up for like a week or so. Mm-hmm. And he showed up to the house early one morning on the back porch, trying to get in, kicking, screaming, trying to get in. I'm standing behind the door just begging him, like, please, just leave. And at the time, I was actually 6 months pregnant with my son. So I'm like begging him, please, please, just get away from the door. And something just said, Aisha, move. And as soon as I moved, the door just came down. Mind you, this was a glass door. So he comes in, of course, his same thing, beating, kicking, just doing everything to me. And I'm threatening him, like, I'm going to call the police. And at the time, I actually had one of my cousins. She was younger than me, and she was staying there. And I asked her, I was like, call the police, call the police. And he look over at her, threatens her, so she's terrified. She just hides under the cover. So what he done was actually plugged up an iron. He put it to my face, and he told me, he was like, if I can't have you, then nobody else will. So he threatens to burn me. And the thing is that I knew what he was capable of. He didn't burn me. Thank God he didn't burn me. But I knew what he was capable of because he has done it before.
Yeah.
But the police wind up showing up to the house somehow. But the thing, I guess, that really got to me is the fact that when the police came, they didn't want to take him to jail because they knew him. So I had to get other people involved to actually call the police headquarters, and finally they took him to jail.
Wow. So how did you get to the point where you felt, you know, you were saying earlier how you wanted to help him, how you wanted to save him. How did you get to the point where you wanted to then save yourself?
Because I had had enough. It was just too much. And I guess, too, when looking back and just thinking about the whole situation, you know, for a man to beat you while you're pregnant, you know, to me that's like the lowest of the low. Because not only are you risking my life, but you're risking my unborn child's life as well.
Yeah.
So it was just too much. I had enough.
Would you say, you know, reflecting back, that you there was something that made you feel you weren't deserving of love, or was it that you didn't know what true love looked like?
I would probably say I didn't really know what true love looked like, and especially coming from a man, because I grew up in a fatherless home.
Uh-huh.
And then I get involved with this young man, and the thing is, that was my first first boyfriend, first love, first everything. So
yeah,
I kind of felt as though that's what love was supposed to be like. You know, that's what it was. That's I was getting what love is, you know. So that's just
was it something that made you feel like you was deserving? Was it, you know, you were saying earlier that a part of you wanted to save him, but
mm-hmm.
was it a part of you also when the abuse happened that made you feel like you deserved or you did something to trigger him?
No, in my situation, I don't feel as though it was something that I did to make him
mm-hmm.
do it
mm-hmm.
because he had problems of his own. He was actually a heroin addict. So he beat me, and then, of course, when he wanted to go on his vengeance or he needed a fix or whatever, I think I was the scapegoat. He would beat me because he couldn't get what he needed.
Okay.
So,
and the reason why I asked that, and that is that makes, you know, the reason why I ask that, and this is kind of is making sense more
yeah.
that you wanted to save him because it's like, okay, he's on drugs. He need help. He need. I can't leave him while he's at this state. And the
Correct.
Reason why I asked a few minutes ago as far as you blaming yourself, because in some cases, some women do feel like, you know, well, I deserve you know, this, or they assume that, you know, because my parents beat me and they love me, that, you know, that made it okay. And it was easier to accept that he loved me too. So that's
no.
why I was kind of, asking as far as, that part of it, but I want to move forward and
mm-hmm.
get to the point where, how did you get to the point of rebuilding, your self-worth?
Honestly, I didn't begin to rebuild my self-worth until I found Jesus and accepted him as my Lord and Savior. You know, I started reading my word, and I later learned that this man named Jesus that I grew to love, he already knew everything about me, Yvonne.
Yeah.
Even to the number of hairs on my head, and he still accepted me and loved me just the way that I am. I started praying without ceasing. And I guess another thing was big in my life was the power of forgiveness, you know, because I not only had to forgive him for what he done, but I also had to forgive myself for allowing those things to happen in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I got more involved in my church, my community, and I also started setting, like, small, achievable goals for myself. And that also helped to build up my self-worth. And also, I guess I came to the realization that, you know, like, I no longer want to be a victim. I just
yeah.
want to be a survivor.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you, well, everything you said was key. But really the forgiveness part, I think there's a lot of people who hold on and have a hard time letting go of it. And they do become mentally, even though the relationship is over, they become, you know, live a whole life of being a victim.
Correct.
And I commend you for letting it go, for finding it, you know, finding a place to really, truly, and genuinely forgive yourself, because that's really, really important. A lot of times, you know, we're quicker to forgive others, but another thing that keeps us in that state is not being able to forgive ourselves. So I commend you.
Thank you.
For that. What advice would you give women who are at any stage of abuse, whether they're just getting into the relationship or they're in the middle of it, or they come out, but they're finding a hard time getting to that space of rediscovering who they are. What advice, any advice, would you give them at any stage in the abuse?
My advice is simple. they really need to do some self-evaluating. And for a while, this is going to be a daily process.
Yeah.
Until they make up in their mind that I've had enough and I made a decision that I want to leave this relationship. So daily they need to just start asking themselves questions. Like, for example, if he hits me today, is this going to be the last day that he hit me or the last time that he hit me? You know, if he accidentally kills me in one of his fits of rage, how is this going to affect my family and my loved
right.
ones?
Yeah.
You know, and then think about if you have kids involved. How is me being in this relationship affecting my children? And, you know, speaking from my own personal experience, and I know I touched on it a little bit earlier, that no matter how much we hear somebody tell us to leave the relationship, until
yeah.
you have made up in your mind that you have had enough, you're not going to leave no matter what nobody else is telling you. So, yes, my advice would be leave as soon as possible because the abuse is only going to get worse over time. They need to seek some type of professional help. And my also, I guess, my heart goes out to the abuser. So if the abuser is actually willing, see to it that that person get help too. Because oftentimes we forget about the abuser. You have to think about it, that something is going on in this person's mind psychologically in order for them to do this to somebody. So that person
yeah.
needs help
yeah.
just as much as you do.
Yeah. It's a, and I agree. I absolutely agree. We're quick to throw people up under the bus, and I'm glad that you touched on that because a lot of people will say, well, this person did this or this person did that, so they deserve, you know, whatever they get, mm-hmm. which is in a lot of cases it's true, but they also need help. So I'm glad that you, you know, touched on that the abuser needs help as well. And as a parent myself, I can only imagine my child going through it and how devastated I would be. Well, I have boys, but even if my son was in, because it happens to men too,
yes,
but if he was in that type of, whether he was the victimizer or the one being victimized, well, if he was the victimizer, that would be a different story. I'll have him, you know, get him some help.
Yeah.
But I can only imagine what that's like. And a lot of times we want to intervene, you know, family, and you kind of touched on it a few seconds ago, but, you know, we try to intervene and, you know, we have friends or siblings or cousins or whatever that's in those type of relationships. We want to talk them into leaving. But, you know, when you're in the relationship, we know that the more we try to speak against it, the closer they get. So my question is, what would have gotten your attention, and what can family and friends do if their loved ones is in an abusive relationship?
Well, if you have family or friends that's in an abusive relationship, again, my advice is to don't continue to pressure them to leave because, like you mentioned, that tends to draw them closer to that person. So we don't want to put any pressure on them. But just let them know that you're there. There are resources that's available. And most times that the reason why women don't leave is because, one, out of fear. A lot of times it's financial support. It's just various reasons why women don't leave. And then
yeah.
sometimes they're afraid that, okay, if I leave, then this person is going to find me. They know all the places that you go. So you're assuming, okay, if I go to my mom's house, then he's just going to come to my mom's house and do the same thing. So my advice is to find other resources. There are a lot of resources out there for women that are in domestic violence relationships. And I would like to share the National Domestic Violence Hotline. And the number is 1-800-799-7233. So there are resources available.
Thank you for that. Tell us about agape. I don't know why I keep trying to call it agape. Agape Christian Counseling Center and Women of Worth Ministry.
Gladly. Agape Christian Counseling Center is a nonprofit organization where we focus on the needs of adult individuals, couples, and groups. We offer counseling services. Some examples may include marital, premarital counseling. We also offer consulting services that may include us helping someone start a business, and Christian life coaching that may aid someone in achieving their personal or professional goals. WOW Ministries is our Women of Worth program, and it's Christian-based, designed to empower and educate women. And we actually host, like, monthly seminars or workshops just to women in the local community, and we touch on various topics, anything that may be plaguing women, anything that women may be going through. Some examples may include stress, confidence, your self-worth, the power of prayer, and the list just goes on. And actually, this upcoming Saturday, we are celebrating our one-year anniversary of our WOW Ministry program.
Woo-hoo! Yay!
Yes, ma'am. I'm so excited. And the theme of this event is She's Got Game 2, Battle of the Sexes. And we plan to engage our guests in a Jeopardy-style challenge game with topics that's guaranteed to intrigue both sexes. The event is actually going to be held at the South Cobb Community Center, and that's in Mableton, Georgia. The address is 620 Lions Club Drive, Southwest. That's Mableton, Georgia, 30126. The actual event starts at 6, but we do have a special session set up with a dessert bar and a mingling session, and that starts promptly at 5:30 p.m.
Yay, and I'll also be the keynote speaker, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You could have easily said, okay, well, you know, once you got your degree in human resources, you know, you could have just stayed set on that path of working for a company, working in corporate, working, you know, as a human resource director or counselor or, I mean, not counselor, but manager or whatever. But you were inspired to reach out and help other women and launch your ministry. What inspired you to say, to start the Agape Christian Counseling Center and Women of Worth Ministries?
Yvonne, I would have to say that the ministry was ordained by God. And I say this because people were already coming to me for advice. They would approach me at work, at church. People from home would call me all the time seeking advice. And I would give them advice from a Christian perspective. And obviously it was effective because they would come back for more. So what I done was started praying more and just asking God to reveal his purpose for me. And in the process, he revealed that a counseling ministry was indeed my destiny.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wanted to teach others how to love themselves, how to restore faith in God, and just hope for a better future.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Because you're using your testimony and the test that you survived, and you're using that in which will help you reach more women because you've been through the walk yourself. So I really, again, commend you for everything that you're doing. But before we go, what encouraging words would you like to leave with us?
Well, as women, we just need not settle because God desires his very best for each and every one of us. And we should have as much respect for ourselves as our Maker has for us. And if you're ever in doubt, consider reciting one of my favorite scriptures, which is Jeremiah 29:11. And it's, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope in the future."
Wow. Where can people go to contact you and to find out more about your event and your ministry?
Well, to find out more about Agape Christian Counseling Center, you can visit our website. It's www.agapecccinc.org. You can find us on Twitter at agapecccinc. And you can also find us and like us on Facebook at agapecccinc.
So agapecccinc. And
yes,
they'll
ma'am.
Be able to connect with you with on the social networks, website, and everything. Again, thank you for sharing your journey and all that you're doing to make a difference and to impact other people's lives through going, overcoming, and finding peace with what you've been through. Thank you for using that and allowing God to use you to help a lot of people. And I wanted to wish you continued blessings and thank you so much, Aisha Hartwell, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I was meant to fly.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.